one of the major categories of Nezik we're going to be learning about this week in the end of Siman Kuf Nun Hey is smoke, kutra, the Gemara calls it. Now, the type of smoke the Gemara is talking about is, you know, barbecues, fires, pits of industrial processes. But I want to spend 1 or 2 days this week talking about the kind of smoke that we encounter a lot, that is personal smoke, smoke from tobacco, pipes, cigars, cigarettes, and so on. Cigarettes being the most common, obviously. So, just tonight, we'll just do a brief survey of some of the mostly 20th century literature on smoking. We're not even going to discuss tonight Niskei Sheinim, the idea of someone else objecting, but Machamero just discussed what the poskim have said about smoking in general, just a brief history of the halakhic attitudes towards smoking. So first of all, we should note that halakhic discussion of smoking in general goes back about 300 years. The first tshuvas we find about smoking are in the 18th century or so. They were not about the danger involved. They were about two major questions. One of them was about smoking on Yontif, still a shaila today. The other one was about smoking on fast days, Tisha B'Av, Kippur. Well, even Kippur you can't really smoke, but Tisha B'Av, Shavuot Tamuz, and so on. Some poskim will machmer, some poskim will mekel on Yontif. There are technical questions of Hilchos Yontif, whether it's called Shavuot Chol Nefesh or not. On fast days, the basic question was whether it's a form of eating or drinking or not. The poskim often refer to it as shtias tabak, it was inhaling the smoke, or somehow they debated, is it considered eating or drinking, is it not? Is it a form of pleasure which should be prohibited on a fast day? Not going to get into all the details of those arguments. I will just mention, though, because it's one of the most delicious things I've ever seen in halacha, a fascinating little comment of Rabbi Yosef Zecharia Stern, the legendary Litvish posik from the late 19th century. He's discussing the question of smoking on fast days, and he notes, he says, one of the very stringent opinions was the Knesset Gedola. Rav Chaim ben Venisti, early 17th century Sephardic authority, was very strict about smoking on Tisha B'Av in particular. So, and he's often quoted by the poskim apparently as being one of the great machmir. Rav Yosef Zecharia Stern says, be careful, not so fast. When you read the Knesset Gedola, you have to take it in context. What is context, he says? So he says as follows. We know that Rav Chaim ben Venisti, one of the greatest Sephardic authorities of the last 500 years, was initially a follower of Shabtai Tzvi, as many great Gedolim were of that time, until he finally apostatized, and then he lost all but his craziest followers. So Rav Chaim ben Venisti was a strong supporter of Shabtai Tzvi. He actually gained the rabbinate, I think, of the city because his opponent was an anti-Shabtai Tzvinik, and the Shabtai Tzvi people were in the ascendancy. He says, and we know, says Rav Stern, we know that the disillusioned, those who followed a false messiah and became disillusioned, became the most vehement and bitterest opponents afterward, waging a war of extirpation against any vestige of their previous beliefs. So he said the Knesset Gedola, as a disillusioned former Sabbatean, was one of the most fiercest opponents of anything to do with Shabtai Tzvi. We know, he says, that Shabtai Tzvi, one of his great kulos was he started abrogating and abolishing Tisha B'Av because the gula is coming. So anything to do with any kula in fast days, and Tisha B'Av in particular, the disillusioned Shabtai Tzviniks were eish lahava against it. So when the Knesset Gedola says, don't you dare smoke on Tisha B'Av, you should know it's because it was an echo of his regret of having been misled by Shabtai Tzvi. In any event, so some of the early discussion was about fast days and about Yom Tovim. Beginning with the 20th century, the mid to late 20th century, the major discussion is about the danger involved. Now, there are many, many poskim who say that smoking is absolutely prohibited because the danger is clear and present and unequivocal. The elephant in the room, the great problem for these poskim, is Ramosha Feinstein. Ramosha Feinstein discussed cigarette smoking on a number of different shuas, at least four that I'm aware of. Nowhere does he come out and prohibit smoking. Now, again, the dates of the tshuvas are important, and many of the stringent ones like to argue that you can't bring rayas from the earlier tshuvas because the danger was less well understood, and you'd have to carefully go through the history and try to figure out how much was known in 64, the date of the first tshuva, how much was known in 1981, the date of the next couple of tshuvas, 84. But I'll call upon him, the most important halakhic authority in the United States, in four separate tshuvas, discusses smoking and the fact that it might be dangerous, and explicitly or implicitly in all four tshuvas declines to aser. In 64, he has a brief tshuva where they asked him, is smoking aser because it's dangerous, and he said no. He said, even if there is some element of danger, we have the famous principle of shomer psar mashem, certain types of practices which are objectively somewhat dangerous insofar Now, there's no clear definition in the poskim of when to apply Sharm Psalm Hashem. The opponents of smoking say things like, can you lie down in a busy highway and say Sharm Psalm Hashem? Can you drink poison and say Sharm Psalm Hashem? Of course not, they say. So there's no clear definition in the poskim of when you say Sharm Psalm Hashem, but the general consensus of the poskim is the danger has to be A, low, very low, and B, it has to be conduct which is widely or universally or very, very widespread. Post can debate whether smoking meets those conditions or not. Again, whether it met those in 64, in 81, in 2015. But Rav Moshe, in his first brief shuva in 64, said that smoking does fall under the category of Sharm Psalm Hashem. He says clearly it's a bad idea, it's min haroi that you should avoid it, but you can't aster at Mikra Din because of Sharm Psalm Hashem. Similarly, in 81, Rav Moshe has a tshuva where, again, he reiterates the same thing at greater length. He says that he discusses some technical analysis of different types of sakana, when we say Sharm Psalm Hashem, when we say a person's mechuyev to avoid sakana, self-endangerment, we've discussed in other contexts. Rav Moshe, again, comes out that smoking would fit in the category of something that you can't aster Mikra Din. Again, he says, min haroi, that you shouldn't do it. You certainly should, someone who's not yet addicted to smoking certainly should not try it out, should not get involved. And it's certainly the wrong thing to do. He actually adds another reason against it. He says a person has no business indulging in arousing new forms of taiva he doesn't yet have. A person is supposed to stay away from taiva as much as possible, so you certainly shouldn't develop taste for things that you don't have. So some posts can quote Moshe saying it's Oster because of that reason, or Moshe held it was Oster. It's really difficult to know how far to take that kind of argument. Some people cultivate a taste for wine or for scotch. You know, is that Oster? I mean, obviously not to become an alcoholic, but people who you can develop a taste for, you know, funny cheeses or other things, or for, you know, for all kinds of strange foods that you don't have and you're not born with a taste for. Does that mean it's Oster to become an epicure in any way? Maybe it is. I don't know. Maybe Moshe would hold like that. We don't usually live our lives saying that it's Oster to try new things that you might enjoy and you might become very fond of. Maybe here it's different because of the addiction factor. It's not just a question of developing a habit. It's a question of developing something which is an actual chemical addiction and dependence. So difficult to know how far Moshe took this. Again, some poskim, notably Rabbi Jachter, who is a ferocious opponent of smoking. He admits that part of his passion comes from the fact that his father died of lung cancer, and that's why he's on a crusade to convince everyone smoking is usher. Rabbi Jachter is generally excellent, and I usually think the world of everything he writes. In this particular case, I think he's rather extreme, but he quotes Moshe as saying usher in a few places. But again, Moshe says, basically, Sharm Psalm Hashem, but you certainly shouldn't start smoking, and you certainly shouldn't indulge yourself in unnecessary pleasures. Shemimayetz and Taivas El Mazeh. But again, Moshe says, you can't aser Mikra Din because of Sakana. Moshe has another tshuva, which perhaps we'll discuss more later in the week, where he actually discusses our sugya of Niskeshenim, smoking in a public place, where he does say that someone can stop somebody else smoking in a public place. But again, the implication of the tshuva is that it isn't strictly osir for him to smoke. It's more like arsim and kufnin, hey, you have the right to object to someone else smoking if it's bothering you. But again, he doesn't come flat out and say that it's osir, like chazer trey, if it's osir for him to smoke. And then yet another tshuva in our Chaim Chelek Hey, Ramosha was asked about smoking on Yontif, which again, as we've said, is a 300-year-old question. But the postman have generally analyzed it from the perspective of, is it shavah l'chol nefesh? Is that something which is universally considered something useful or beneficial or normal or not? Rav Moshe is addressing the fact that today many people do not smoke. This is in 84, I think. Many people do not smoke anymore, he said. Many people consider it dangerous to smoke, so they don't just not smoke, but they consider it an abhorrent habit, a dangerous habit, or an acceptable habit. Does that change the din? Rav Moshe says he doesn't think so. He says, self kol self, language is not so clear, but he says he seems to be saying self kol self, even at the time of the early Achronim, the Pnei Yeshua, and the earliest Achronim who discussed it, it was never something universally done. There was always something that some people did. And they felt that the fact that there were lots of people who did it was enough to be called Shavah L'chol Nefesh. Even today, Rav Moshe says, millions of people do smoke. The fact that many others don't, and the fact that today we have the additional dimension that many people refuse to smoke and they consider it unacceptable, doesn't change the din. There are still enough people who smoke that it's not Osir Mikra Din, even on Yontif, and certainly not during the week. He says, Bal Nefesh should avoid it. Again, he's not in favor of it. He certainly would discourage you from smoking, certainly on Yontif, maybe during the week. But Ramosha, all his tshuvas, is pretty consistent that he does. Again, none of them was written later than the mid-80s, but the Ramosha, all his tshuvas, explicitly or implicitly refuses to prohibit smoking on the grounds that it crosses the red line of unacceptable self-endangerment. On the other hand, many other poskim, major poskim, later poskim, throughout the mid and late 20th century, were willing to flat out prohibit smoking. One of the strongest is that Tzitz Eliezer uses very strong language. It's absolutely usher, he says. It's ridiculous. Sharm Sam Hashem surely does not apply to such cases, he says. He says the Sharm Sam Hashem is not a heter to risk your life and to do. We have so much overwhelming mountains of evidence that it's so dangerous, a leading preventable cause of cancer, so on and so forth. Quote statistics, quote the numbers of deaths that you have. He says clearly it's something that it's incredibly dangerous and that you have no business doing. Tzitz Eliezer goes so far as to say that even secondhand smoke, even passive smoke, is something which you are not allowed to do, if you have a choice, obviously. That you cannot deliberately go and hang out with someone who's smoking. You have a duty to protest, to stop him if you can. I mean, obviously, if you have no choice, you have no choice. He doesn't discuss how far you have to go. Do you have to lose your job? You know, he doesn't get into that, but he just says, he was told, again, he is told that passive smoke is really dangerous, too.
Well, he was a Rav Sharei Tzedek.
So he had access to plenty of doctors and research, yep.
You see all these autopsies.
Right. I don't actually know the state of the research that well. My understanding is that most of the serious research is on actual smoking, that the rigor and the extent of the studies, the last time I looked into it, on secondhand smoke were considerably less authoritative than on primary or real smoking. But Tzitz Eliezer was told, was understood, that the dangers of secondhand smoke are also dangerous, and he was willing to forbid... He forbade even secondhand smoke. One of the earliest poskim, according to Rabbi Jachter, earliest noted poskim to forbid smoking back in the 70s already, was Rav Chaim David Halevi and Asay L'Charav. But subsequently, many poskim have said that you really shouldn't smoke. They've urged you, using very strong language, not to smoke. That not all of them have written formal tshuvas, but there's a fairly impressive list. The RCA came out with a 10-page kind of survey of poskim where they list many, many poskim who prohibit the YU poskim, Rav Willig, Rav Gedalia Dov Schwartz, or Herschel Schachter was a fairly early posek who came out strongly against it. Have many, many, perhaps most poskim on record have said, and incidentally, it's not just the modern Orthodox and kind of the progressive poskim, it is even some fairly reactionary poskim. We have the Debreziner. The Debreziner Rav, the Baron Moshe, who no one's going to accuse of being susceptible to the lures of modernity, comes out with a fairly strong critique of smoking, that it's usher, that it's dangerous, that it's not acceptable. And he actually makes a fascinating little comment. One of Ramosha's proofs in his earliest tshuva, one of the things everyone has to grapple with was that many Gedolei Torah, certainly in previous generations, even fairly recently, were smokers. Yeshiva smoked, but even leading rabbinic figures smoked. So why do they smoke if it was so dangerous? Tzitz Eliezer doesn't mince words. He says they're wrong. He says it's unfortunately they're wrong. He says he quotes the language of Chazal. It's something that Gedolim have to get their act together too on, he says. But the Debreziner, who's even more pious and reverential toward Jewish leaders, says, well, I have a few reasons why, at least in previous generations, it was different. First of all, they were on a very high madregan, kol maseim l'shem shemayim, and they had special protection. Second, he says, in halacha, we generally have this kind of idea that yard d'chul shel olam, we're not as robust and we're not as tough as they used to be. We say this in many areas in halacha. The third reason, he says, is truly a fascinating reason, and is a remarkably progressive idea coming from someone as reactionary as the Tzitz Eliezer, as the Debreziner. He says, today we're plagued by terrible, terrible pollution. He says, it used to be you had the clean and pristine, fresh village mountain air. People's lungs were good, they were intact, they weren't assaulted constantly by the filth of pollution and gas and particulates, he says. Today our lungs are beat... Sorry?
This was when?
Baron Moshe, Debreziner. This would have been sometime in the mid-20th century. I don't have a date. I can check later, maybe. Today, he says, we find the cities are fighting this desperate but losing battle against pollution. The whole air is full of junk and garbage, he says. So your poor lungs are battered down and are weak to begin with. So they're more susceptible to cigarette smoking. I have no idea if this is scientifically borne out or not. But the Debreziner is emphatically rules that the science clearly shows that it's usher. And that it therefore is usher. As we noted earlier, those who wanted to argue that it was mutter, Moshe Feinstein and some others, what about the fact that it's dangerous? So first of all, they clearly the danger was not as evident as it was today. But they basically make three types of arguments. One of them we mentioned earlier is Shomer Psoim Hashem, the idea that a certain amount of danger is acceptable if it's considered the normal. There are, as we said, there are two factors in determining Shomer Psoim Hashem. A, the question of how great is the danger objectively, B, how prevalent is the behavior in question, and again, later posts can try to argue smoking has become much less prevalent, it's not so common anymore today. Rabbi Jachter quotes, I think, Rav Chaim David Halevi, and on his own he elaborates on this and argues an additional reason to ask is that it's a chilul Hashem. Most people don't smoke. People who are educated and intelligent don't smoke. Smoking is primarily a lower class activity today in the United States, at least, he says. Maybe less so in Europe, I suppose, in other areas, but in the U.S. it's largely considered a vulgar, lower class habit to smoke cigarettes, he says. So it'll be a chilul Hashem. Jews have to portray themselves as being elevated, and it's a chilul Hashem. It's seen as a dirty Adonai Adonai. That's what he tries to argue. But again, Sharm Shem Hashem depends on the prevalence, and again, we have no real rigorous definition. It's a posting debate about the prevalence of smoking today, whether it's still enough to be called Sharm Shem Hashem. Second argument proposed by Rabbi Dr. Abraham in his Lev Avram, Nishmas Avram, other poskim, is the idea that the causation is simply indirect. Even if you can show statistically that there's clear harm, you can't point to the cigarette and show this cigarette is damaging, it's cumulative, it's only statistical. The link, even if it can be established mathematically and using methods of epidemiology and medical statistics to show that there's a link, if the link is not direct and certain and more just more transparent, there may not be an issue of sakana, of self-endangerment. Again, Rabbi Jachter and others say that that's not a traditional halachic argument. That's creative, but that's not something. Danger is danger. If it's dangerous, then you should be avoiding it. Third argument some posts can make, Rav Shlomo Zalman in an earlier tshuva suggested, we find in the Rambam that even certain types of things which were recognized as dangerous, not everything is usher. Some things the Rambam only says are roi lizar. Again, not so clear why. It could fall into one of these other categories. In a later tshuva, though, Rav Shlomo Zalman kind of backtracked and said, I never meant that smoking is mutter. I just meant that it's not, I never gave it an actual heter. I just meant that there's what to debate about it. But in general, I think it's true that many, probably most poskim across the ideological spectrum held it's either a really bad, hold today, it's either a really bad idea, if not downright usher. With even Rabbi Ephraim Greenblatt, one of Ramosha's great Talmidim, in his Rivas Ephraim, has a vehement tshuva saying, of course it's us, or it's like lying down in the middle of the street, what kind of Sharm Sam Hashem? Doesn't even directly deal with Ramosha. He says, what are you talking about? Like, of course such a thing is incredibly dangerous and us. So I think it's fair that there's a pretty strong consensus across the board that smoking is a really bad idea, if not downright us. Just mentioned, the last two or three years, there were a couple of middle-tier post-Kim in Eretz Yisrael who caused major waves by ruling, halacha l'maisa, that someone who smokes should not be an aide in a chasana or a get. Everyone talks about Chaim Kanievsky's alleged talk about iPhones, but that's not exactly a rigorous hurrah. Here we have a couple of Sephardic post-Kim, I think, who came out with the formal rulings. One of them, actually, I heard a share from personally where he said it, Rabbi Bar Shalom, leading Sephardic Dayan, a major Sephardic Dayan, who said, it's absolutely usur, people should know better, it's clearly an aveira, and if someone smokes, he should not be used as an aide at a chasana. Now, an avarian is not allowed to be an aide. Someone who does a clear...
Somebody's an avera for a single avera can't be an aide?
The rules are complicated, it depends what kind of avera, Yishma Malka, Tehma Malka, so we're not going to get into all the details. One reason why I think his psak is dubious is that you can debate it, is because there is a major exception that things that people don't know are avera, like the Gemara says, Losachmot, people don't know that it's an issur of Losachmot, even if you pay money. Certain other types of averas, one of the major rules in Hilchos Eidos is that people don't become puzzle if they're maraheter, if they don't fully understand that it's an avera. I think it's pretty clear that those who smoke don't really accept that it's usher. Whether they have reliable haterim or don't, I think it's pretty clear they don't think it's usher. So I think that particular psak is debatable, but in general, I think it is true that there's a pretty broad consensus that smoking is at least a really bad idea, if not downright usher.